Good morning to all of you. I too wish you God's grace and mercy and peace that comes from those things. It is my desire that we as God's children would live in that true peace and would enjoy that true peace that alone God can give and the only place that we can get it. What a beautiful morning, is it not? My brother-in-law and sister are here this morning, and I feel kind of sorry for them. They live out east where it rains all the time, so they're not as thankful for rain as we are. You know, life is interesting, is it not? We really don't enjoy rain unless there's some drought in between, right? How's that in our spiritual life? Is that your experience in your spiritual life too? It is mine. It has been mine that I go through droughts, and then I'm so thankful when it rains once again, and so I'm very thankful for that. And I too thought about the lightning and thunder. I don't know about the rest of you, but when I was growing up, there was all these weird superstitious things that we believed. For example, I remember clearly when my second oldest sister-in-law had just been married, and she came to our house. They had lived in Mexico, and they moved here, and there was lightning, and there was this belief that you had to close the windows, because if you didn't, the lightning would come in through the windows, so you had to close the windows when it rained. I don't know if you guys grew up with stuff like that, but last night, I was inside studying, and my wife was outside enjoying the rain, and I went outside, and she was just meeting me in the door. She said there was a lightning strike, and she said it was so close it was red. And instead of me going in, I was going out because I wanted to see it. Isn't that how different we are? I'm not afraid of the lightning. If the lightning had struck me, then I would be rejoicing forevermore. And so it's very interesting how we change. And I'm very thankful that the Lord gives us that peace and that tranquility, that if lightning strikes me in the head, that's okay. Maybe not to those that are left behind, but I'm okay. I'll be happy with where I am. I want to touch a little bit about the story that Willie was telling about these boys that went to church to be obnoxious. When I was in Mexico, in southern Mexico, there in Campeche a couple of months ago, Sunday morning, when I got up to speak, there was four young men sitting over on the right-hand side, and they were wearing their caps, and they know better than to wear their caps in church. I mean, all of us grew up with taking our caps off, so I knew that these young men were being obnoxious. They weren't there to be nice. But I thought, I'm not going there at all. I'm going to simply preach the word, and that's all I'm here to do. And I preached the word, and they sat through the entire message looking down, just doing whatever. And you know what? I thought that's the last time I'll ever see them. And you know what? In the evening, they were back. But not four, but three. And this time the cap was off, they were paying attention. That's what God's word does. These young men, even though they went to church to be obnoxious, that Willie was talking about, when we come under God's word and we allow God's word to penetrate our souls and our hearts, it changes us. Even those of us that are sitting here who've been in the faith for a long time. So it is my desire and prayer this morning that we will allow God's word to enter our souls and to accomplish what it is that he would have it to accomplish. So may God grant us that. This morning, the title to the message is, once again, Be Careful How You Build, except this time it's part two. The last time after I'd finished the message, I had a conversation with a couple of brothers outside, and they asked me about what those things were. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 3, they asked about that stuff that you build with that will burn. And I felt compelled to further that, and that is my goal this morning. I hope you've been praying, because it's not an easy subject. It is a deeper subject. It's not that deep, but it's hard to find some of that stuff. So this morning it's Be Careful How You Build Part 2. And if we are to be careful what we are to build with, then we need to know what the good and bad materials are. Now, we understand some of this stuff, but not all of the stuff. So I want to do a short review of the last one to kind of bring it back so that you can get along. And I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first six verses. And then later I'll read the rest of the chapter, and then we'll have the whole chapter read this morning. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For are ye not carnal? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another of Apollos, and another, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom God believed? as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so I want to just do a short review, thinking about this whole, the context here. I want to bring that back. The context of these chapters is the vision. There's so many times that we, and I told this, I said that, shared this last time with you already, we're often encouraged to stay away from issues. And I think as long as we are personally involved in those issues, if those issues force us to say things that have to do with me personally, in other words, if I have something to accomplish that's for the human, then we should stay away from that. But if we can legitimately just approach the issues that need to be talked about, then we should talk about them. And that's what the Apostle Paul has did. He approached the issues. That's what this letter is all about. There was issues, and the biggest issue of that day was division. And when I was reading this a couple of weeks ago, and I told you the last time that I shared that my habit is to read through an entire book in one setting, unless the book is too long. And if I'm interrupted, then I will start over because I lost my train of thought often. And so I had started reading 1 Corinthians, and I worked my way through it, and I couldn't ever finish it because I was interrupted. Well, just for the record, I finally finished it. I finished the whole book. I sat down in one setting and read through it. And I don't want to get into all the chapters too much, but I do want to say a few things. If you will sit down and read 1 Corinthians and you will read through it, you will see there are entire chapters that he devotes to the topic of what you should do not to be causing divisions. We know about the eating of meat, and he says, I wouldn't eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols. If it is someone's conscience, then I'm not going to eat it. That entire book is when I saw the context of what was in this book, as I read it, I was just so blessed by the Apostle Paul again and again going at what do I need to do, and he's talking to the church, what do you need to do so that you are not this part of the division? So the first thing I wanted to lift up is that 1 Corinthians is written in the context of 1 Corinthians, and I'm sure there's other topics in there, but the big one is division, and the other thing is that carnality brings this division, and we have that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, where it says that, and this is how we are measured, and I just challenge you to measure yourself with this, and I was trying to be honest with myself and measuring myself with this, that it says, for if you are carnal, whereas there is among you envying, strife, and division. So these things bring division. So if we want to see where we're at, then we just need to look at this, and then we can see whether we're carnal or spiritual. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I interact with a lot of people, and sometimes I talk with people, and it seems like they think they're real spiritual, but you don't have to listen long, and you start hearing carnality coming out, and I'm sure you can do that with me too. But what I wanted to bring out here is simply that this division comes from carnality. Further, I wanted to just reach back a little bit. We have a responsibility to build, and I think too many times we think we don't need to be building, and we have a responsibility of how we build, and also we need to know that we are all building. There is no one who is not building, and what we build with will be for an eternity. I think out of all the thoughts that I got out of this, the one that really stuck with me is that what I'm building, I have to live with for an entire eternity. Here, if you build a house or a barn or something and you don't like it, you put it up for sale and move on and build yourself another one. What we're building for eternity is not going to be like that. What we're building for eternity, we are going to be living with in an entire eternity. So it is worthwhile to stop and ask myself, what am I building? What am I building with? Am I building the good stuff? Am I not building the good stuff? And so we want to go more into that. Again, what do we build with? We build with words and actions. Those are the two number one, the main things that we have to build with. And everyone preaches. I want to bring that out again. I want to really say it strongly with your life. And I hope you're not just preaching with your life. I hope you're preaching with your mouth too. But you are preaching, and you don't need a pulpit to preach. I remember the very first time that I was getting ready to preach. The pastor, the local pastor at the time, I told him, you know, I was sharing some of my struggles with him, and I said I'd never, he said, so why does it bother you? And I said, well, I've never done a message before, and he says, you've done hundreds of messages. And that really stuck with me because that's what we all do. We all preach, and we don't necessarily need a pulpit for that. And what are we to preach? We are to preach Christ and him crucified. We are, and that we get out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. We have that right here. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then in chapter 1, verse 24, it says, "But unto you, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." There's the other thing that we are to preach. We are to preach and demonstrate with our lives the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I'm not going to go to all of these places, but also in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 and 20, there are twice that it mentions where Paul says that he did not hold back any part of the gospel. He held back nothing of the whole counsel of God. In other words, the whole word of God. And the Apostle Paul had the Old Testament. He didn't have the New Testament. And that is simply what we are to preach, that those just keep those things in mind. As we think about this chapter, there are two groups of people here. What we symbolize by the wood, hay, and stubble is the people who are building foolishly, or we have some other words for that. We'll use them in a little bit. But the thing that I want to make sure is that we all understand that there are people. I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm not talking about people going to hell, and I don't believe. This is about works. This is not about salvation. This is saved people that it's talking to. And the mistake when someone would apply this and say, you're going to hell and you're going to burn for a while until all the bad stuff is burned off and then you're going to heaven, that's not the application here. The application here is, what are we building with? This has to do with Christians. It's already established where they're going, so that's not what it's about. But there are two groups of people here, and let's make sure that we understand that those that are building with hay, straw, and wood, hay, and stubble, they are going to be there too. It's not about that side of it. So the symbolism here in wood, hay, and stubble is simply symbolism to say that we're building with something that burns easily. And one of the things I want to say is this text does not spell out exactly what those things are. And we've seen some of those things that we build with, words and actions. We've seen some of that. But the text does not give it to us in detail. And so then it's up to us that we work it out. In other words, we search it out. And I hope all of you search these things out. So the first one we want to go to is work that will be rewarded. That's the one that we all like to talk about, right? I want to start reading in verse 6, and I'm going to read through verse 14, and then we'll make some comments about verse 14, and I'll make a few comments as we go along. Verse 7, I'm sorry, not verse 6. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And I'm going to be going into the church today, which is a different part of this message that we need to get. But right here, when we're looking at this verse right here, and it says, every man shall receive his own reward. You are not going to get your neighbor's reward, neither are what you do going to be his reward. In other words, you are going to get what you do. This is God watching this. And then further in verse 9 it says, for we are laborers together with God. And I don't know about you, but it just amazes me when I stop and think that God is willing to share his work with futile men. I don't know if you see yourself as a futile man, but minus Christ, I am a futile man. With Christ, then I am Christ's workmanship. He works in me and he uses me and he can use me. But for God to want to use us is just amazing, and it should amaze us. God, first of all, he gives us, and this is what grace and mercy are, so beautiful. Grace gives us that gift that we didn't deserve, and mercy takes away the judgment that we deserved. And here he is giving us a part of the work, and that's part of that grace that we see. It says, according to verse 9, let's just start there once more. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry or field, whatever you want to call it. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. So Paul himself calls himself a wise master builder. That's amazing to me that he had, you know, in our day we would probably say he was an arrogant man to say something like that, right? But he was doing what God was telling him to do. He was actually very humble. You will see that all through the scriptures that Paul, for who he was an extremely humble man. He had the highest education. He does in one place he actually gets up and he says, "Look at all the stuff that I have. If you want to boast about something, look what I have." And then he says, but I count this all as dung. I count that all as trash. And then he says, Christ is what counts. And here he says he's a wise master builder. So it's not out of arrogance that he says this, and we should be careful when we do that. But if we're doing the right thing, we should not be ashamed of that. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Excuse me, I'm reading off memory here. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, for every man's work shall be made manifest, or it will be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. How beautiful, brothers and sisters, how beautiful that we will be rewarded for the things that we do for Christ. Now, the question is, when we are building, we need to be building on that foundation, and we need to be building the precious stuff on there. We don't need to be building with wood, hay, and straw. Our motive, and I want to just go into it a little bit here. I don't have a lot for you here, but I want to go into a little bit about what this is. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but some people will be doing very menial things in the kingdom of God. Maybe they take care of the yard or whatever. If the motive is correct, and then there's another person, maybe he's a powerful, seen as a powerful man in the kingdom of God, but his motive is wrong, then the reward for that person who is doing the unseen thing will be rewarded, and that is actually being building with gold, silver, and precious stone. So I want to focus on that right now, the motive. Our motive, if our motive is to build up the kingdom of God, if our motive is to lift up Jesus and to glorify him, if that is our motive, then we are working in the right direction. Then we are working with the things that are gold, silver, and precious stone. What is done for the greater good of the body. I'm going to share some stuff. I'm actually excited to share a verse with you this morning because of something that I found in there that really brings some truths out. And I don't want to focus on that now. I just want to focus on if we have the correct motive. And the motive is that is the things that we use, our words and our actions. And if we do them for the sake of the kingdom, no matter what it is that you're doing. And one of the things that's not said enough here lately is if there's a sister sitting here or a brother and you're not doing much, but you're on your knees faithfully, you will share in the reward of whatever you're praying for. And we don't see those kinds of things. Those are the unseen things that we think that are not going to be rewarded. They will be rewarded. Those are the things, the things that we do because we are concerned for the body of Christ. We want the body of Christ to flourish. The context of this book is unity. And unity is a big part of this. Unity can only be achieved if we have that full surrender. This is a big one. A lot of men and women have destroyed very much for themselves and for others because they could not surrender. There are men who had great potential in the kingdom of God, but because they could not surrender or would not surrender, let me say it that way, it was destroyed, whatever it was that they were trying to do, and we will get into that destroyed more. But the main thing I want you to remember when it comes to what we do that will be rewarded is the things that we do out of a pure heart, out of a pure motive, with the intention of building the kingdom of God. That's what will be rewarded. That is and that is verse 14. This is the work that will be rewarded. If any man's work abide or stay or remain, whichever word you need to use there for you to understand it, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. How many times have we said that word shall, when we're talking about salvation, it is clear. It says he shall be saved. That word shall, that's clear. It's done. So here it says so clearly, he shall receive a reward. Like I said the other day, there are so many people, and I even said it myself years ago, if I just make it into heaven, I'm going to be happy. Is that the way we men work in our earthly? If I just have enough to feed my family today, if I just have a house today, if I just have a car today, is that how we work in the earthly kingdom? just enough? We don't, do we? We all want to gain, and I'm not knocking anybody for that. I'm not criticizing that. I think that is part of the God-given natural desire that God has given men, is to provide for their families and provide well. And same with the ladies. You don't do anything to just barely get it done, are you? You're not making just a barely meal. You're making a nice meal. You want your family, when they come in, they want to enjoy that. You want them to enjoy the food that you made. This is the same way. If we work that same way in the kingdom of God, then there are, and I hate to say this, but there will be some poor paupers on the other side. Even that will be grand. But I don't want to be that way anymore. Verse 15 says, I was going to share something else, but it's too emotional for me. Verse 15 says, and the next part that we want to look at, and that's the second part, work that will burn. And this is verse 15. It says, and if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as, so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that ye are the Spirit of God that dwelleth in you? What is building with wood, straw, and stubble? My searching it out, or my conclusion, is simply this. What is done out of self-interest, what is done for personal ambition, what is done out of envy, and we have those verses here where it says what is done out of envy is carnal, it's fleshly. Those are the things that will burn. When I am trying to build my own brand, I don't know if you've been around any Christians. I've been around some Christians, and I hope and pray that that's not been the case for me. But I have been around Christians who were building a brand. They were building a brand for themselves. They were building themselves up. Everything they did always linked to where people were to be drawn to themselves. That is not building with precious stones. That is building with wood, hay, and straw and stubble. If we are trying to draw people to ourselves, then we are doing just exactly that. When we are trying to draw people to Christ, that is when we're building with the other side. So you see here, even in verse 21, it says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So do not glory in men. I'm going to say some things here that it pains me to say it. I don't really want to say it, but I don't see it any other way. You know, when I was a young Christian, it was one thing. If someone was in church and and back in those days we had cassette tapes. If someone had a cassette tape, if someone heard a good message, they would go to the PA guy and say, hey, I want a tape of that. And he would pass it on to people. But for the minister himself to go ask for that tape and pass that around to people would have been unheard of. And today, you see people on social media sharing their own stuff. And I'm just blown away, honestly. When I first started seeing it, I was like, I thought maybe I'm misreading them. But the longer it goes on, the more I see this is exactly what it is. It's a self-interest. It's a self-building. You know, if the church has a function and we're sharing that and we want to invite people, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you sing a good song and it's recorded and you think you have to share that on your own status, I believe you're building your own. I'm not judging. Please don't misunderstand me. I've withheld this in a public setting for a long time because I've seen it for a long time and it has plagued my heart for a long time. But for people to share their own stuff, I cannot see it any other way as it's self-interest and it's self-building. I want to share another thing so this is the first one that I believe is building with things that will burn, is when we're doing things for the self. That I believe that's very evident and clear in the scripture all through and through. A person who is only concerned about himself and lifting himself up and building his own brand, that's what it's about. But now there's another whole area that I want to share with you that's dear to my heart too. And that's this. It's very tempting when, for example, I'm just going to use a real live example. For example, if someone would come from another church and would come to me and say, oh, that church did me so-and-so, and they did wrong, it's very tempting for me to just whitewash whatever he says and just blame them. Draw them to ourselves, right? Well, I want to share a verse with you. It's in Jeremiah chapter 23 that when we had the lockdown last year, I was stuck at home because I had the COVID for right at 7 weeks, and I read through Jeremiah slowly because Brother John Lowen from Ontario had really inspired me to read through Jeremiah and Isaiah, some of these old prophets that I had never really been drawn to much, but because of him, I was drawn to it. And so I was reading through this book slowly, and I came to verse 14 of Jeremiah 23, and it really struck me. And I think this happens a lot today, and this is one of the things when we're building with things that will burn. Verse 14 says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. So God says this is a horrible thing. God is not saying this is a little bit bad, or this is not flavorful, this is not good. He says a horrible. And this is not a human being saying this. This is God saying that this. And then it says, they commit adultery. And I did word search yesterday because I thought adultery didn't, the context of what I was reading, I didn't think that adultery was the word that it was really looking for. So I did a word search, and the word adultery here, you know, sometimes the scripture says that Israel went a whoring, or they became immoral, and it's not even talking about being sexually immoral. It is talking about going after strange gods, and this one is one of those. That's what this is. This is not the adultery. I'm not saying that it couldn't be part of that, but that's not what this is. And then he says, and walk in lies. Now here's where we got to start being careful. All of us, if we want to build with true stuff, then we have to build with truth. We cannot rub shoulders of a lie. We can nicht Menschen heuen, wenn du lehst und gehen down. And then it says, they strengthen also, and this is what I want to really go to, they strengthen also the hands of the evildoers. This is key. This is happening a lot today, and I believe this is building with material that will burn. And then he says, that none doeth return from wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants therefore of Gomorrah. So I want to focus a little bit on this. So we're building. So we have the opportunity to share the good news with someone or to be an instrument in God's hands. But instead of doing the right thing, when somebody is out of line, instead of helping them, we support them. And when we support them, it says that none of them doeth return. People do not repent many, many times of the things that they should repent of because someone is speaking into their lives saying that they're bad, not you. This can happen on many, many different levels. This happens when there's marriage problems and we're involved and we tell the one spouse that's out of line that it's all your other. They come to us and say, oh, my spouse, so-and-so. And then we just talk along with them. We are doing exactly this. Or you take this further, the example that I already gave. If someone is being dealt with in a church and they run to another church and they are just supported there, then this is exactly what is happening. This is building with hay, straw, and stubble. How about this thought? Jesus said, count the cost. Do we do that? Or do we try to make the gospel sound really good? Like the example that I'm thinking of right now is this example that I heard years ago of another minister. He said, when someone is given a parachute in a plane, is he given that parachute and told that if the plane falls, this will save you? Or do they say that this will make your life better? If they say this makes your life better and you got this big old parachute on and you're trying to sit and you can't sit comfortably, you're not going to like it. And if we sell the gospel in a way that says, well, life will just be so much better if you're a Christian, that's not the truth. The truth is, as a Christian, it's going to be hard. Do we do these things? I think we've fallen into this compromised of the gospel because it has become so merchandise-like. Because everybody is competing for the other one. That competition has done a lot of damage. So we can be careful what we're doing when we're sharing. Another one is sin. One of the suggestions that was made to me that building with inferior stuff, things that burn, will be because of sin. And I believe, just like it says here, but maybe it's a different sin that we're thinking about. The sin that's mentioned here is envy, strife, and division in verse 3. So many times we don't look at that. One of the verses that I want to challenge all of you to go home and study that will help you to understand where I'm going with this whole thing is if you'll look closely at that Jeremiah 23:14. Look at that and analyze it yourself and see if what I'm saying is wrong. And with that, I'm simply telling you that there is that you have that responsibility to look yourself. So now I want to go to the verse that I'm most excited about this morning because I found something new. Verse 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now, I want to look now at the third one, and that is work that destroys. See, we looked at work that will be rewarded, work that will burn, and now work that destroys. See, there's a deeper level yet. There's a greater hindrance here. So the last word, what I really found interesting, I've always assumed when I read this that when it's talking about the temple here, that it's talking about me, that it's talking about you. It's talking about you as an individual. And that is part of it. Let's read it again. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" In this case, I believe it is you. It is meant you. And then he goes on and says, "And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and if any man defile the temple of God," now it changes. And the way I know that it changes is with this one thing: "Him shall God destroy." That's very serious. When it says, "And him God shall destroy, for the temple of God is holy," what's he talking about now? You or the community of believers? It's talking about the community of believers. See, this changes the entire verse. I was completely excited when I saw this. And the reason I was so excited is because it changes the meaning. It all of a sudden, I see more of the church. See, in our day, church is often minimized. It's the individual. Everything is, and it's part of the American dream. I mean, America is all about individuality, right? That's what I've always heard. And it is true, and it's good when it's not taken too far. But look here. If you look at the very last word in verse 17, the word search that I did, it says that it is an irregular plural. When you look at the Greek word, that 17, it says, "which temple ye are," he's talking about the congregation. He's not talking about an individual. So now, reread that verse with this thought in mind, that he's actually talking about the church when he says, "if any man defile the temple." And what does the word defile mean? It has several different meanings, as you know, when you look a word up, but to waste, to shrivel, to wither, to spoil, or to ruin, and figuratively, especially figuratively for moral influence, to deprave, corrupt, defile, or destroy. So now, I told you earlier that I was excited and I wanted to share this with you. I think it's important because there are a lot of people who have hurt themselves because they're guilty of this, and God says, "I will destroy." You can see people who 15, and this takes some living. That's the thing that often we miss is it takes some living, and it gives you the opportunity when you have lived. It gives you the opportunity to look over past 25 years, and then you know that someone did something way back there, and you know that person 3 years ago, and you see something happen in that person's life that looks like he was destroyed. Do you follow along what I'm saying? I'm refraining from sharing examples, but I'm going to share one example, and I'm going to leave the names out. There was a couple that, through gossip, got a pastor destroyed in a church in the 90s. About 5 years ago, that couple came to a place where they can go to church nowhere. They stay at home by themselves. And I personally, when I saw the last one happen, I was involved in the last one. I was not involved in the first one. When that last one happened, I remembered him telling me that story and him telling me how they had done it. And how he was boastful about how they had managed to accomplish that. Now, this, like I said, this takes some living. You look over 25 years and you see someone that did something and they never repented of it. There's always the God's so gracious and so merciful. Now, and the time proves it. He gives them 20 years to repent of this. And even if they've been told, they still won't do it. And so that was the exciting part to me this morning, because you might think, well, why is that exciting? Well, it is exciting because it reveals the truth to me, and it reveals, and I can share it with you, and hopefully all of us can learn from that and say, okay, I'm going to be more careful. Is that not what it should do? When we see that in God's word, that should bring us to this place that says, I should be more careful how I am building. I should be more careful what I'm doing. And it brings back this truth that I just want to drive home this morning, that we are all building, and that we will all have to live with what we are building. It should cause us to think twice before we are doing things that destroy the church. Now, the church is the global church, right? But it's also brought down into individual churches. And so may God grant it to us that we remember. And I want to bring it back one more time. Work that will be rewarded is the work that we do with a pure motive and the intention of building the kingdom of God, not looking to ourselves, but looking to Christ. Work is work, and then there's the work that will burn, and that's the work where we're trying to create self-interest, where we're trying to build our own brand. I want to have this great name. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't bless that. I promise you. You can watch men as they come into the kingdom of God and start working, especially the gifted ones that are seen more. You can see them start moving, and as they're moving, if they're doing it for self-interest, then you'll start seeing problems, so much so that they won't serve or can't serve, or the other way around, where someone who seems like he's not really getting much attention, and God elevates him. So the first one is work will be rewarded. It's the pure stuff that we do. Work that will burn, it's the stuff where the self-interest, where we're doing it out of sin, out of envy. And then the last one, work that will destroy. So may God grant us the grace to learn and to work in his kingdom with him in mind. May he have the preeminence. May he be the one that we do the things for. Not for our own attention, but for the attention that Christ gets out of whatever it is that we're doing. Let's stand for a word of prayer.